From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Excitement in eastern Turkey as workers rescue a boy from the rubble of an apartment building that was toppled by last weekend's earthquake. The 13-year-old had used a rock to dig out a space for himself in the crushing debris. He drank rainwater he was able to collect and used his shoes as a pillow to cushion his head while he awaited help. NPR's Peter Kenyon in Istanbul says the rescue has given another boost to crews still searching for survivors.
Long hours of painstaking work are still yielding survivors in Van province. At least two people were extracted from the wreckage of flattened buildings after more than 4 days. Some families are still waiting for tents to give them some shelter from the freezing temperatures. Many tents are packed with more than one family, and residents are complaining that their children are showing signs of sickness. International aid from more than a dozen countries is arriving in Van. Saudi King Abdullah has ordered a $50 million donation, according to the official Saudi news agency. Peter Kenyon, NPR News, Istanbul.
Fans in St. Louis cheering as the hometown Cardinals forced a decisive seventh game in the World Series, the Cards avoiding elimination last night in a thrilling extra innings victory over the Texas Rangers. The Cardinals were down to their last out in the ninth inning when third baseman David Freese hit a triple to tie the game, and then in the 11th inning he hit a walk-off home run for the win. Freese says it was the stuff of dreams.
Growing up or whatever, and you see like stuff like that happen, you know, those become memories. And, you know, I've said it time and time again as far as being a part of, you know, this comeback, but it wouldn't be as sweet if this group of guys, you know, weren't with me.
Game 7 is tonight in St. Louis. It's the first time the World Series has stretched to a seventh game in 9 years. The head of the European Union's bailout fund is in Beijing today. He's in preliminary talks to convince China to invest in the fund, which is being bolstered under terms of a plan to resolve Europe's debt crisis. A new satellite that's expected to improve weather forecasting and climate monitoring is now in orbit. NPR's Nell Greenfield-Boyce reports the satellite was launched before dawn this morning from the Vandenberg Air Force Base in California.
This new NASA satellite is designed to peer down at our planet as it orbits 500 miles above. It has five different science instruments that will take a variety of measurements. It will map land cover and vegetation, monitor sea and land ice, and take sea and land temperatures. NASA says the satellite cost about $1.5 billion and will test out next-generation technologies that can be used for future weather and climate satellites. Nell Greenfield-Boyce, NPR News.
Appliance maker Whirlpool says it will eliminate about 5,000 jobs and close its plant in Arkansas. The move's aimed at cutting costs in the face of soft demand and higher expenses for materials. Whirlpool's brands include Maytag and KitchenAid. This is NPR News from Washington. The UN Security Council has voted unanimously to lift the no-fly zone over Libya next Monday and to end authorization for military operations to protect Libyan civilians. The U.S. Ambassador to the UN, Susan Rice, says the vote marks an important milestone for the Security Council and for Libya.
This closes what I think history will judge to be a proud chapter in the Security Council's history and experience, where it acted promptly and effectively to prevent mass slaughter in Benghazi and other parts of the East, and to effectively protect civilians over the course of the last many months.
NATO's Secretary General confirms the alliance will end its operations in Libya on Monday. Thousands of young South Africans have joined a march to demand jobs and an end to poverty in their country. NPR's Ophelia Quist-Arkton reports the protest began in Johannesburg and is scheduled to end in the capital, Pretoria, at the president's office.
The Anti-Poverty Economic Freedom March is organized by the youth wing of South Africa's governing African National Congress. Young people have responded to a call by the party's maverick youth leader, Julius Malema, who disagrees with the ANC hierarchy's economic policies. Malema says white-dominated capitalism must end and South Africa's lucrative gold, platinum and diamond mines must be nationalized. The ANC says it has no intention of going down that route. Before the global financial downturn, a quarter of South Africa's workforce was jobless. Youth unemployment is even higher than the national average.
That's Ophelia Quist-Arkton reporting. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.